We're going now to the ordination of Mr. Reid. And I want to warmly welcome both our moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong, and our clerk, the Reverend John Greer, to our service here tonight. These men will conduct the rest of the meeting, and we'll hand over now. So Reverend Greer will take Mr. Reid to the pulpit here, and then will be the prescribed questions, and then the laying on of hands afterwards. Thank you, brethren.
This meeting, as our brother, Mr. Reid, has set aside to the office of elder, and we certainly bring you greetings from our presbytery, and especially from Mr. Brown's home church in Ballymena. We're glad to see how the work here has been blessed under his ministry over these years, and we thank the Lord for him, and I want to congratulate her brother Hill on his election to this office, and I trust God will bless you and be with you in days to come. So we come now to the questions that are put to an elder-elect, or elders if it were that case, and these are solemn questions, and all of us should pay heed to them, and as you hear them been read out and our brother giving his answers, take him upon your heart and pray for him that the Lord will be with him as he enters into this office of elder. Have you the experience of the new birth, and do you believe that it is only by the power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you can make full proof of your eldership?
I have, and I do.
Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament not merely to contain but to be the verbally inspired word of the living God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and believe the Westminster Standards and the Articles of Faith of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
Will you subscribe the said confessions and articles as a confession of your own faith?
I will.
Are you firmly resolved through divine grace to adhere to the doctrine contained in the said confessions and articles and teach and defend it to the utmost of your power against all error?
I am.
Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in maintaining the truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and in working for the purity and peace of the church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise unto you on that account?
I do.
Will you maintain at all costs to personal reputation and vain worldly popularity the distinctives of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster and the three fundamentals of the faith as set out by Dr. Henry Cook? A. The Trinity. B. The vicarious atonement of Christ. C. The necessity of the work of the Spirit to originate faith and repentance in the heart of man?
I will.
Will you maintain with all the strength God shall give you the position on biblical separation from apostasy as taken by the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster in 1951 at the time of its secession from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland?
I will.
As God helps you, will you expose and resist the continued apostasy from Christ manifested within Irish Presbyterianism, Methodism, Episcopalianism, and other visible church bodies, exhorting God's people to obey the teaching and commandment of 1 Timothy 6, 3-5?
I will.
As God helps you, will you expose and resist the errors of Romanism and all other false religions, and the errors of charismatism with all of its counterfeits of the genuine doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit?
I will.
Do you affirm and promise to uphold the Free Presbyterian Church's position on the free offer of the gospel?
I do.
Do you believe the Presbyterian government and discipline of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and do you promise to adhere to it and support it and to yield submission and be in subjection to your brethren as is taught in the Word of God.
I do.
Will you publicly expose and oppose the immorality and social vices of this present evil world, such as drinking, dancing, and gambling, and by example live righteously, soberly, and godly before all men?
I will.
Will you maintain the purity of the communion feast, and by all scriptural and lawful means resist any attempt to weaken the testimony of the Church in her stand for a born-again communicant membership?
I will.
Do you engage to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all private and personal duties which become you as a Christian and ruling elder, as well as in all relative duties and the public duties of your office, endeavouring to adorn the profession of the gospel by your conversation and walking with exemplary piety before the flock over which God shall make you overseer? And are you now willing to take the office of ruling elder in this congregation, promising to discharge the duties of an elder to them as God shall give you strength?
I do, and I am.
And I call upon the moderator to come, please, and oversee the subscription of the confession and articles and the ordination of our brother Reed.
Mr. Hill Reed, having answered the prescribed questions, will now sign the following. I believe the Westminster Confession and the Articles of Faith of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and as such I subscribe them as the confession of my faith. Our brother, having been elected by the members of this congregation to serve as an elder, that election having been sustained by a vote of our presbytery, and he having answered the required questions, we now move to his ordination. Now, since this is an ordination service, Scripture dictates the laying on of hands, and we are subject at this current time to the regulations in regard to COVID. And the requirement then to lay on hands will be fulfilled by representatives of our presbytery. And so I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. Ken Sampson, Mr. John Craig, Mr. Semple, and Mr. Brown, Mr. Greer, and myself. And we will conduct this ordination, laying hands upon our brother. So, brethren, if you please come forward just now. Brother, would you kneel? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great head and sole King of the Church, and by that authority which he has given to the Church for its edification, we do ordain and install you, Mr. Hill Reed, as an elder in this congregation, and for that purpose may the blessing of God rest upon you and the Spirit of God fill your heart. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? We'll bow together in the ordination prayer. Eternal and our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight in the precious and holy and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We thank thee, O God, that we're found tonight upon a solemn business, upon holy ground, as it were. We gather tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging him to be the sole King and the only head of the Church. We bow before thee, the Lord Almighty, this evening, in that peerless name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast ordained the office of the elder. We rejoice, O God, in thy great wisdom, and in thy grace to thy Church, thou hast given us this office. Yes. And we thank thee, O God, that thou hast called men in the Church to that office. And we bless thee then for the brethren who have served in the session of this congregation in recent years. We bless Thee, Lord, for their faithfulness, their witness, and their testimony. We thank Thee for our brethren from Newton Abbey, and we thank Thee for our brother Samson. And, O God, our Father, we pray that tonight, as their number is added to, that Thou wilt remember Thy servant bowed now and knelt before Thee. We pray, O God, that he might know the power of God, the grace of God, the wisdom of God, the help of God in his life and ministry from this time forward. We thank Thee that Thy word says, and as Thy days, so shall Thy strength be. And we pray, O God, that Thou, the Almighty in heaven, wilt equip Thy servant and fill him with the Holy Ghost. And grant, O God, that he'll be enabled by God himself to fulfill this office to which Thou hast called him and to which he is ordained this evening. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt make him a man of great wisdom, yes, with much skill as far as the eldership is concerned. Yes. Grant that he'll move among the people here, those in the congregation and others outside, mm-hmm, as God's man. And grant, O God, that his ministry will be owned and blessed of the Almighty, and that the power of God will rest upon him. Bless him in his family life, privately and publicly, we beseech of thee. And Lord, we cry to the Lord that thou tonight indeed will encourage the hearts of the people here in the congregation by our brother's ordination. And so we pray for the session in days to come. We pray that the work and the ministry here will go from strength to strength. Amen. Bless our brother Brown, the preacher and the pastor of the congregation. And we pray that in all things the Lord will give grace. Yes. The Lord will give help. And the Lord will be honored and glorified. Answer prayer. Continue with us as we linger on in thy presence and in thy house this evening. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I'd like to congratulate our brother. We trust that the Lord will bless you, that the Lord will undertake for you in days to come. May you know much of the Lord's power and his grace. And as our brother, Mr. Greer, has already said, please take the Lord's servant upon your heart. Pray for him. He needs prayer. He's just a man. And he's been called tonight and ordained to a great office. And so pray for him. Pray that the blessing of God will rest upon him in days to come. God bless you.
We'll invite now Mr. Reed to come and give a word of testimony. I know he could spend an hour telling you how God has been good to him and blessed him, but I've constrained him to a considerably shorter time than an hour. So, Mr. Reed, we'll give you the lectern.
Thank you. Well, can I just make it clear here tonight that tonight is not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about our God. And to him alone be all the glory. Now, I want to thank our moderator, Reverend John Armstrong, and also to our clerk of presbytery, Reverend John Greer, for coming down here tonight to finally have me ordained as an elder. Thank you to my own minister, the Reverend Brown, for all his encouragement, to his whole family. Also to Elder Ken Sampson and Jean for their friendship, and also to our two augmenting elders, John and Ronnie. Also to this congregation and to all who are visiting here with us tonight. It has been a year in the making, but praise God, it has finally happened. And I am deeply humbled that God has directed your paths to elect me as your elder. Now, I was born here in the Moyle Hospital in 1955. I was reared up the road about 9 miles or so, and we were sent to Second Ballyeaston Presbyterian Church and Sunday School. Now, I learnt some catechism there, but to be honest, what sticks in my mind mostly from my childhood is the religious instruction that I learnt at primary school. We were taught great old hymns like Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, and that most wonderful of hymns, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. And I still think back to those days. But no one in our family was saved. And I did what all young boys did in their youth. And as they would say, we sowed our wild oats. Now, I left church and Sunday school when I was 16 because there was nothing there to keep me there. In my first two jobs, I worked with two Christian men who both witnessed to me, and both of them gave me books to read. And when I think back now, the seed was being planted in my soul, but I still had no thought for God. I had no fear of God before his eyes, and so I continued on in sin. And it wasn't until the early 80s, when I was working at Larne Harbour, that I experienced something in my life that I just couldn't explain. Now, I will admit that I was a wild gambler, and as you would expect, working with a lot of hard and rough doggers, I could curse for Ireland. I was bad-tempered and would have fought with my shadow, and I didn't need an excuse. I had a lovely wife, and I've still got her, and two young daughters, but I was hard to live with. And like most of humanity, I believed that I was all right, but I was slowly coming to the realization that I was all wrong. But something was happening, and as I said, I couldn't understand what it was. I found myself getting interested in religious matters. I was having conversations with this guy that I worked with, who was also of the same frame of mind. We talked about religious things. We talked about the end of the world and what would happen, but nothing that would blow you away. I remember starting to sing hymns and psalms in the lorry. I had no idea why. I only knew the 23rd Psalm. I didn't realize it then, but God was working with me. And for the first time, I came to the realization that I wasn't going to scrape into heaven, but I was on a first-class ticket to hell. But it would still be many months before I got on my knees, and still more months before I had the assurance that I was saved. It was a long battle, but after this battle, one night, I did get on my knees, and God did save me. And when I was saved, surprise, surprise, I was saved an Arminian. But my pastor, Tom McKendry, and a man called Arthur Pink soon knocked that out of me. I often wondered why I was made to hear his voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make the wretched choice and would rather starve than come. It was that same love that spread the feast that sweetly forced me in. A bit of a paradox there, sweetly forced me in, else I would still refuse to taste and perish in my sin. I thank God that he saved me 100%, not 99%. Plus my efforts, as Billy Graham and many others would teach, but 100% with no help from me. You see, friends, salvation is of the Lord. The impulse to pursue God originates with God. Now, I flourished at the Congregational Church here in Larne for many years until our pastor accepted a call to another church. And then I got into difficulty and I left. But my problem was I didn't go anywhere. And I didn't go anywhere for 8 years. I spent those 8 years back in the world. The swear words returned, and suddenly I was back in the bookies. It was 8 whole years wasted. Now, 8 years in a word of testimony is just like a flash. But those were 8 long and sinful years, of which I am ashamed. I used to think I enjoyed them, but it was only the pleasures of sin for a season. At the end of those 8 years, one evening the Lord spoke to me. How long are you going to continue with this? And I went back to church for the first time in 8 years. And for the next 10 years, I helped others to build that wee church up. It was a good time, and I was happy. My first granddaughters had arrived. They've been arriving ever since, and they come along every Sunday. But then some outsiders and a modern minister joined the church in 2012. And as far as I was concerned, things went pear-shaped. I had introduced the catechism to the Sunday school, but that was thrown out in favour of go-teach ministries. John Murray said that he knew of no compendium of Christian truth that is more excellent than the shorter catechism. But obviously the new minister disagree with that. Then the head covering began to disappear. Young people were coming in with torn jeans and T-shirts on. I was getting more and more frustrated, and I created a website called Free Congregational Church. After a time, I was pulled in before the diaconate, of which I was a fellow deacon, and I was grilled about this website. But they could do nothing about it, and so their charge against me was dropped. However, 2 years later, in 2014, I realized that I couldn't go there any longer. I believe that God made it very clear that I should leave. Even an article in our own church magazine was speaking to me. Now, I had always thought about this church here in the Mill Brae. I had met their new minister once when they were doing the doors. I gave him a bit of hassle that day. I'm sure he remembers. But I soon realized that after he answered all my questions, that he was like-minded. Then I rang up the Reverend Greer to ask some advice, and he was very helpful. Eventually, we came here as a family in 2014, myself, my wife, and my oldest daughter, Hannah, granddaughter Hannah. Now, just by chance that Sunday, the Reverend Brown was preaching on the head covering, and that was just another confirmation, among others, that I had taken the right step. Eventually, I was elected onto the committee, and then last year, I was elected as an elder. However, COVID had other plans for me. I took ill in January. I was hospitalised in February. I didn't come off oxygen until the 3rd of June, the very same day as my mum died. I still seem to have some long COVID, and it certainly has been an eventful year. Now, when I was voted in last November, I do not believe that I was spiritual enough or good enough to be an elder. But God has been working on me these past 12 months, and the fact that I finally made it tonight is confirmation. Now, I bought a book a few weeks ago called A Sheep Remembers. It's about the 23rd Psalm. It was only published this year, the same year in which the author died. He had cancer for 30 years, and some parts of the book talk about him being in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I believe that's where God took me in January, or at least as close to death as I would ever wish to be. But why? Hadn't I put my trust in him whom my soul loveth? Didn't I ask him to keep his word in Psalm 91, where he said that I would not be afraid of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, and that no plague would come upon my dwelling? Yet it did. Matthew Henry, commenting on this psalm, says that though trouble and affliction shall befall you, it shall not be to thy hurt, but for thy good. And though for the present it may not be joyous but grievous, yet in the end it shall yield so well that thou thyself shall own that no evil ever befell thee. Friends, God's ways are not our ways. Adam Cooper says this, but if this year, this really stuck with me. I read it in that book, and it really stuck with me. But if this year, the child of God must go through a period when God puts him in the smelting furnace or makes fine cuttings on the diamond of his soul, then, though tears make his eyes glisten, he will nobly bear up in the exaltation of faith. For then it is certain that he is in need of this, that it cannot be otherwise. That if it did go otherwise, his life would be a failure forever. Friends, I truly believe that God has been refining me in that furnace, and that the man that you see before you tonight is not the same man that you voted for last November, and I praise God for it. His ways are not our ways. God works in a mysterious way, and his way is past finding out. And just as I finish, I want to give you one example of that. You all know who Augustine was. When Augustine wanted to sail for Rome, his mother prayed earnestly with tears that he would not go. But he tells us that one night, while she was praying, he sneaked out of the house, he found a ship, and he sailed for Rome. Now, you would have to say that his mother's prayers were not answered. But from Rome, he went to Milan. And he tells us that while he was there, Monica's deepest prayers were abundantly answered, because he came under the influence of the godly Ambrose and was soundly converted to Christianity. The rest, as they say, is history. His mother's prayers were that he would not go to Rome, but that he would be saved. God decreed that he would go to Rome in order that he would be saved. God's ways are not our ways. You as a Christian may not understand what's happening in your life. Just leave it up to God, for he knows best. And if you're not a Christian here tonight, then cry unto him for mercy and for salvation. As I finish, I can say with surety that I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Friends, brothers and sisters, it's my heart's desire and prayer for this church, for this town, for my family, for your family, that God would break down hardened hearts as he did during the 59 revival, and that he would drive men and women, boys and girls to their knees in tears and save them. Why? That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. God bless you all.
Well, thank you, Mr. Reed, for that word of testimony. It's always good to hear a word of testimony. And I trust this evening that you too are able to clearly give an account as to when and how even the Lord brought you to Christ. So, Brother Reed, we will be remembering you in prayer, obviously, as a fellow elder in the church, and may the Lord give you wisdom along with us all to oversee the work of God here.